You're good. Are you, are you joining me, or? It's a bit exciting now, because I'm not quite sure if my wife's going to talk with me, and if she does, I've no idea what we'll talk about then. Okay, shalom. Yeah, what I want to talk about is this word shalom. That sounds really loud up here. Is it loud back there? Is it booming? No, it's okay. Fine. Okay. Oh, morning, Jonathan.
What did
you say? How's the
dog? Holy Paul.
Oh, no. No, that feeling. I'm going to start an unusual way. I want to give you a gift as we start. Now, if you're vegan or something, or you don't like chocolate, well, sorry. but we'd like to pass those around. I'd like you all to have a Cadbury's cream egg.
Do you want help?
Because I want to talk about, really, the gospel. And the gospel is summed up in this word, shalom. You see, eggs. Why do we give eggs out? Why do we give eggs? Jonathan, why do we give eggs out at Easter? Because everyone likes chocolate, yeah.
Yeah, mostly it's the chocolate.
But what was the idea behind it?
New life.
New life. Jesus enabled us to have new life. He enabled us to just stop what we're doing and move forward into a new life. So I want to start with the Cadbury's cream eggs, because everyone loves eggs anyway. But I want to start with that idea planted in your head, that this word shalom is a lot more than we think it is. Jesus made shalom possible. I'm going to talk about what shalom means, because it actually means the type of life that God wants for us. It means the type of life that we can move into.
I'm just going to tweak the levels.
Yeah, okay, thanks. And we need it. We need to be able to live in shalom. We need this way of living. And the world needs it. If we could show the world shalom, and I'm going to explain what all that means. If we could show the world shalom, they would be craving to get in our churches. Not just for the Cadbury's cream eggs. But they would be craving to get into our churches. Is that working better?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So what is it? What is shalom? That's what we're going to look at. What is shalom? Why should we want it? And how do we get more of it? So that's my whole thing for this morning. What time do I need to finish?
Today.
Yeah. Today? Can I do what?
We have to be out by 1:30.
Just give me a time. What time do you want me to stop speaking? Gosh, I don't get, that, that's great. You are all going to be praying for each other anyway at some point during this, because I think we need to move on. How do we get more of it? How do we move into this area of shalom? Well, it's got two words. The Old Testament word was shalom. Now, the Jews still welcome each other, shalom, shalom. So they still do the whole shalom thing. But they're not really speaking it in the way it was meant to be speaking. And in the New Testament, that word is irene. It's pronounced irene. And it means, irene is about things that have been separated, being joined back together. Now, what does that sound like? Well, that sounds pretty much like we got thrown out of the garden because we sinned, and then God found a way to join us back together with him. So in this one word, it's a whole way of living. The word shalom represents a way of living. Irene was just the Greek word that they had later on about it. But if I walked up to you, I would just walk up and go, peace, peace, peace. Well, I'm going to talk about Church of England a bit later, but we used to do all that sort of thing. We used to do the whole peace thing. And we think that's what the word means. Now, if you look in your Bibles, that's what you'll get the translation of. Every time this word comes up in the New Old or New Testament, it just says the word peace, generally. And that's not what it means. This is what it means. All of this, peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, wealth, health, happy, tranquility, all of this stuff and prosperity, all of this is in that one word. So when I walk up to you and say, shalom, what I'm saying is I want you to be healthy, happy, tranquil, prosperous. I want you to be whole and complete. I want you to live in harmony. I'm saying all of that in one word. Now that's what the world needs. That's what we need. If we walked into places, Rudyard Kipling in his poem said, If you can keep your head when all about are losing theirs, my son, then you will be a man. There's a few verses in between that, but I just missed a few verses. But he was wrong. You see, if you can keep your head when all about are losing theirs, you understand who God is and he's on your side. Because there is no circumstance that can make us lose our head if we understand that God is on our side. If we understand that at every moment, at every occasion, no matter how black it looks, God's got sat there going, I've got a plan. I've already got a plan. I knew this was going to happen. I had a plan. Before the world began, I had a plan. You see, as soon as we get that perspective, that heavenly perspective, we don't worry about circumstance. We just get excited about what God's going to do and how he's going to get us out of it. We get this sense of harmony, wholeness and completeness, as the songs we were singing this morning were about. How would you like to live like this permanently? How would you like to wake up every morning knowing that your life was going to be healthy, happy, prosperous, tranquil, peaceful, complete and whole? How would you like to wake up every day like that? Well, that's what God's offering. That's what God's saying to us this morning. He's saying that's how we can wake up every morning. And every night we can get into bed and go, thanks God for another whole, complete, happy day, Father. Thank you, Father. Some of you will be too young to remember some of these people. But you see, there's some things that go together well. Some things have to be put together. And if they're not put together, they're nowhere near as good as each other. Morecambe and Wise, for it's my ear, I suppose. When Eric died, the little one tried to carry on doing his act. It didn't work. Sausage and mash. You can't really have sausage without mash. It just doesn't work. It's like eggs and bacon. Batman and Robin. Bat and ball. I mean, all these things, you have to have both. So when we're talking about completeness, we have to realise that on our own, we are not complete. We are not how the Creator designed us to be. We're only half of ourselves. We need to have that sense of getting together with people. We need to get together. And this is what this verse is on about, Colossians 2:10. It says, and you are complete in him. That's what it means. Until we get with him, we're not complete. Now you might cope very well. There's some very good people in the world who are doing some amazing good works. But they're not complete. They're still not complete because they're not with the Father. They're not joined to the Father in the way he wants us to be joined. So with this verse, we need to realise if we want to be whole and complete, there is only one answer. And it doesn't lie in sitting in some yoga position for 25 hours saying, oh, just not, it's not going to happen. You know, that might be good for you. I'm not going to go into the whole yoga thing. But sitting and meditating is a good thing, but it's not going to make you complete. Prayer is not going to make you complete. Coming to church isn't going to make you complete. It's being joined with the Father that makes us complete. That's what joins us to him, makes us wonderful. Anton Deck was the only duo pair I could find, by the way, that's a modern era. So how are we going to be brought back together? How are we going to be made whole? Colossians 2:10. And what does the Bible say about the one that made it all possible? What does it say about the one that we is our friend, the one that advocates for us in heaven, the one that put down his life for us? What does it say about him? It says, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, guess what that word is? Peace. It's shalom. We interpret it as peace. It's not. He is the Prince of Shalom. What does that mean? It means he's the Prince of wholeness, completeness, health, happiness, tranquility, prosperity. He's that Prince. Doesn't that make you even happier? Because he's not just the Prince of Peace. He's not the Prince of Lack of War.
He's the Prince of God.
He is. He's part of God. He's part of the Godhead. He's a wonderful God. He is our Prince. He is our Master. He is our wonderful Saviour. He's the Prince of Shalom. So we need to get hold of this word. We need to realise every time God is saying to us, I want you to have shalom. I want you to have peace. I want you to have prosperity. It's not just peace, though. It's all these wonderful things that he's saying he wants us to have. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, if you want to just take the one word, He is the Prince of Peace. It's very difficult to get all of this. What gift did Jesus decide to leave us as he was leaving? Well, he knew the Holy Spirit was coming, and what was the work of the Holy Spirit? Completeness, wholeness, prosperity, health, thoughts, all the work of the Holy Spirit. The one gift Jesus thought was so important that he had to leave with us to allow us to do the work he left for us was shalom. And yet we've ignored the word and taken it down to one word, peace. So I want you to get all this idea that every single day God is looking at you, he's going, shalom. I want you to live in shalom. I want every day of your life to be shalom. I don't want anything to affect you. I just want you to walk in peace, in tranquility. I want people to look at you. Yeah, it's a word for you, brother. I want people to look at you and I want them to say, how can that man have that peace about him? What is it about that man that we look at him and realise he is in touch with something far more powerful than us? He doesn't care about the world. He doesn't care what's happening. He doesn't care about the facts that are surrounding him at the moment. He's got shalom. Now, they won't know the word shalom, but they'll recognise it in you. They'll recognise that peace in you. We need to have that presence. When people are running around and going, you've got to panic! We want to be the ones that are just looking out and going, no, I don't really. I don't need to panic, because God's on my side. When our son was, he was in Mexico 3 years ago. Now, some of you will remember, 3 years ago in Mexico, they had a very big earthquake. And it was on the coast, 12 miles from where they were staying. 12 miles. They're on the coast, 12 miles, tsunami's coming, and they thought, and everything else. Everybody else was running around like blue-bottomed flies. They were all running around and panicking. Chris sat on his bed playing a game on his phone. And somebody went up there, what are you doing? What are you doing? You've got to panic, it's an earthquake. And he went, well, either the building will fall down or it won't. Tsunami will come or it won't. God's still in his heaven. That was his answer. And everybody else around him sort of went, yeah. That's what we need to do to the world. When the world's panicking about Brexit, when the world's panicking about budgets, when the world's panicking about our economy, about fuel running out, about electric, we just need to look at them and go, you know what? God's still in his heaven. And God's got a plan. And it doesn't involve panicking. It involves trust. It involves looking at him and saying, he is our God and we can trust him. Jesus knew the Holy Spirit was coming, but he still said, this is the gift you need. This is the gift that you will need to take into the world. It's this shalom. It's this sense of everything is okay because God is in charge. And when we trust him, we can allow him to work through our lives. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole sovereign God argument. God can do all things. He chooses to let us have free choice. He chooses to let us make our own decisions. Now, if I was God, I probably wouldn't do that, to be honest. If you're a teacher in a school, you know exactly what I mean. You know, I look at most of my students and some of the decisions they make, I think, you really need to get a grip. And I want to make that decision for you. Well, God is bigger than that. God says, no, you make your own decisions because I love you, because I care for you. Because you're my special children. I want you to make your own decision. I want to have a relationship with you. I don't want you to be my robots. I want to have a relationship with you. So we need to realise that God is just so special. So let's look at that verse again and take it a bit more. John 14:27, if you reread that verse the way it should be read, peace I leave with you. My peace, my harmony, my wholeness, my completeness, my prosperity, my welfare, my health, my happiness, my friendship, my tranquility, I give to you. Isn't that bigger now? Doesn't that suddenly blow your mind? That's what he left for us? His gift to us? Not as the world gives it to you. Well, now we won't be troubled because we've got all that now. Now we understand what he's left with us. Now we understand just how big our God is. You see, this is the gospel we're called to preach. Romans 10:15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Not the gospel of doom. Not the gospel of fire and damnation. The gospel of peace. And bring glad tidings to good things. Well, guess what the word peace is? It's not going to surprise you. The gospel is the gospel of shalom. We are to bring the gospel of wholeness and completeness. The gospel of prosperity. I'm not talking about, you know, winning the lottery. You can be prosperous in the middle of a field with absolutely nothing around you. because you realise how rich you are. I was on a golf course in Scotland, beautiful golf course on the Moray Firth, and I was with my two best friends, and we're golfing, the three of us, on this day, and there was dolphins playing in the Moray Firth, and the sun was shining, and we were on a particular par three looking down over the beach, and it was just one of those days, and John, my friend, looked at me. He looked at me and he said, "You know what? I am richer than a millionaire." And in that moment, I understood prosperity. Prosperity isn't about the money in the bank. It's about the feeling in the heart. It's about the contentment in all things that Paul talks about. It's about this sense of God's okay. God's got it planned. God's got it covered. And God will make it work. Yes, he does want us to prosper, by the way. He will. He does send blessings. We have a God of blessings. He wants to bless us with all things, with all good things. Yeah, I'm not going to go down that route either, but I'd love to. I haven't got time. I've got a dish. Now, I got this Master's the other day. Now, it's quite a nice dish at the moment. Now, this is how we started out. In the Garden of Eden, we started out whole and complete. We started off without any breakages. You know, we walked in the garden with God. Yes, I am going to do that, Karen. Karen's looking at me with horror at the moment because she's already realised what I'm going to do to the dish. Yeah, you're looking pretty horrified as well. But this is how we started, you see. God looked and he went, oh, they're a complete whole being. He walked in the garden with us. He talked with us. Everything was as it should be. And who messed it up?
We did.
It's not going to blame the enemy, by the way. It's not good to that darn servant came up and he made us sin. No, we didn't. We had to say yes, and it's still the same today. Well, I'm going to put it back, by the way, Karen. So
right.
I
risk assessment, risk assessment.
I tested this yesterday. You see, when we were in the garden, it all looked great, and if we'd been in the garden, surely we would all sat there and gone, let's stay in the garden, let's not eat from the tree, let's just enjoy the garden, we don't have to work too much, we just enjoy life, we can just have a great time, we can walk with God every morning, we can enjoy the way it's supposed to be. I can't find the entrance.
You want the yellow bit.
Oh, that'll be good.
When you say you want the yellow bit.
So this was how we were. Unfortunately, we saw stuff we wanted. We saw all of this stuff and what we wanted. We thought, I need that. I need to have that new car. I need to have that new job. I need to have that girl. I need to have that bloke. We saw all these things. And it hasn't changed, by the way. We're still doing the same thing. And we broke it. We broke it big time. So that all the bits were crumpled up. Yes, I have broken it. It is very broken. So we broke it. And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, we broke it again. And we broke it again. And we keep breaking it. Every time we thought about sinning, we broke it. And in the old ways, in the old covenant, we kept trying to put it back together. And we kept trying to put it back, and it just didn't work. We couldn't get it back together because it could never be good enough to get it back together. But what happened was, Jesus came. Now, the Japanese have a very different idea to us. What we would do with something like this is, and Deb's got this program called The Repair Shop, some of you may have seen it, where they take things that are broken like this, and they put them back together so they look like they were never broken. Like nothing ever happened to them. Well, the Japanese have a different way of doing it. The Japanese have this thing called kintsugi, where they use gold paint and gold dust to actually put things back together. Because they believe the things that have been broken and restored are actually even more valuable than they were to begin with. So here's the one I broke yesterday. So this is the one I broke yesterday. And it's like God mending us. God puts us back together and we are more valuable than when we started. We're stronger. We've got more assets. We've got more ability. God puts us back together, and when he filled us with the Holy Spirit, he filled us with gold dust. Gold dust that we can take out into the world. Gold dust that we can spread wherever we go. So that far from being a broken dish, we are now far more valuable than when we started. And that's what God's saying to each of you this morning. He's saying, I want to make you even stronger. I want to pour gold dust inside you. So as you walk down the streets, gold dust follows you. It's like one of those trails we leave. And people went, where's the gold dust going? And that's what we need to do. We need to be leading people with gold dust to the Father that gives the gold. We need to be following this, we need to leading this trail so that we can lead them to the one that is all things. To the one that has all things, that has all the power, that has all the love and has all the goodness. We need leading people towards our wonderful Father. Our wonderful Jesus. Not because they have to, not because they need to, but because it's such a wonderful thing to do. It's a wonderful place to be. He is everything. He is all things to us. Luke 2:14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. These were the words that were spoken to the shepherds on the hilltop. And why is this such important? Of course, it won't surprise you, the word peace is shalom. Why was this so important? Well, before Jesus was born, there couldn't be shalom. We could strive, we could do all sorts. The Holy Spirit came in at certain times to certain people to fulfill certain activities. But the Holy Spirit couldn't live in us. We couldn't live in wholeness and completeness. We couldn't be where we are now. Do you know all those Old Testament people? David. If you read the story of David, it's fascinating. You know, he wasn't a good guy at times. In fact, if you read all the Old Testament prophets, we look at Abraham, Moses, all of them, they messed up big time. They really messed up big time. They would make us look like Satan at times. But they messed up big time. They would all be jealous of us. All of these great prophets in the Old Testament would be jealous of us because we can have the Holy Spirit living inside us. They would be looking at us with, you lucky people. Can't believe that you get to have the Holy Spirit living inside you. We look at them and think, didn't do amazing things. Ezekiel, Elijah, all of these people. They would just look and say, you are so lucky because you have got the Holy Spirit. Let's not look. It was a plan and a purpose by God in the beginning, and he knew at the very beginning we were going to mess up and he was going to have to repair it all, and he did. He brought us back into this wonderful position of working with the Holy Spirit. This position where we can just be at one with him. We can run into the throne room and shout, Daddy! Like when your kids run up to you. What's your son's name?
Kia.
Like Kia this morning. As soon as I held his hand, the Holy Spirit said, he is going to bring new life into dead situations. He's going to run into situations where people feel like it's all over, it's all dying. What I just saw was churches, the dry bones in the desert. And he will run into those situations and bring the life of God. And he'll breathe into those situations the life of God. Well, that's our ability as well. We can all do that, by the way. God has got a plan and purpose for you. What is it? Ask him. He's got a plan and purpose. Or he told you about yours. So, plan and purpose. If you sat there thinking, I was with a lady 3 weeks ago. She believed, she completely missed it, and she'd missed the plan and purpose, and she was just berating herself, saying, oh, if only I'd done it when God told me. Well, God's still got a plan and purpose. There is never a too late moment. When Ken went at 64 to Romania, his family told him he was crazy. But they went to Romania, then we started from nothing. They built they built a school. They worked for many years, 20 odd years. At 80 year old, I went to visit Ken in Romania. 80 year old, he and I, with our youngest son Chris, we were putting in main drains in his house. 80 year old, Ken walked over, picked up one end of this drain, these concrete drains. Ken picks up one end of it and says, where do you want it, Andy? I'm only 58. I've got 6 years before I go on the mission field. No, I'm going on there before that. But you have all got that opportunity. All you have to do is say, okay, God, where's next? I'm looking at next year already and thinking, where's next, God? Where are we going? Where do you want us to preach? Just to mention, I would like 4 hours of your time at some point. I would like to teach about prophecy. I would like to do a prophecy workshop, about 4 hours, where we look at what is prophecy, how do you do it, how do you not mess it up, and then practice lots of it for 4 hours. So I'm talking to John McCann about that. We'll try and work a time out and do it. But 4 hours where we can work out how do you speak into people's lives. Builder. That's what the Holy Spirit shouted about you. Builder. John, yes. You say, go to Johnny. Do you go to Johnny or John? Builder. Okay. You see, this is what you do with the Holy Spirit. This is what he does. Because prophecy never, ever, ever knocks people down. Prophecy never walks up to somebody and says, this is the sin you're committing. It doesn't do that. See, prophecy builds people. The Holy Spirit is a builder. He said he's laid out for you bricks. What are bricks? Bricks are people, I think. But he's laid out people that he wants you to build up, that he wants you to speak into the lives of. And that's the one word he said about you, builder. So from now on, it's not Bob the Builder, it's John the Builder. Now, if we work with God, every day is like that. Every day is an exciting day. I've had to say sorry to God, because I've been running my company now for 12 years, teaching for 12 years in professional settings, and I have limited God in those 12 years because I haven't spoken into the lives of the people I was with for a very stupid reason. But I'm not doing that anymore. And what I've found since I made that decision is every day when I teach, God will give me a word for somebody in the class. Now, sometimes you have to think about how you don't run up to your boss and go, the Holy Spirit said, there's a way to do things. Ask for wisdom from the Holy Spirit. How are you going to give this word to somebody? So somebody in my class, the Holy Spirit said to me, it was last week, the Holy Spirit said to me, they're feeling down because they feel family's not working. Well, how do you deliver that word without going, you've messed your family up? You don't do that, that's not Holy Spirit work. You just speak to the person, ask the Holy Spirit how you want to speak. And the Holy Spirit said to me, start talking about building relationships. So I did a whole lesson that wasn't planned on building relationships in the workplace. I wasn't talking about the workplace. I was talking about this one person's family. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll tell you what to do and how to do it. So how are you going to move forward with that? So peace on earth. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There was a promise when Jesus was born that there would be peace on earth. It hadn't happened yet because Jesus hadn't lived his life and hadn't died on the cross and hadn't risen again. But when we get to this verse in Romans 5, this verse in Romans 5 is the fulfillment of the promise. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. That isn't a past, a future tense anymore. We have peace. This is a declaration. We have peace with God. Anybody you see preaching anything else, I don't care how big a name they are, on telly, on the radio, on whatever, if they say we haven't got peace with God, they are not in alignment with the scripture. This says we have peace with God. He's not angry anymore. Go back to the old covenant, the Old Testament, sorry, well, with that one. God's not angry anymore. God made peace with man through Jesus Christ. He is not angry. He has forgiven. He is in tune with us. Now, people are still making stupid choices and doing stupid things. But God is at peace with his people, and Jesus made it possible. So now Jesus just looks at you, I love you, you're fantastic, you're awesome, you're amazing. Yeah. You're amazing. Depth. God said, you are a deep pool. A deep pool of mystery, where he's revealing mystery to you, where he's got so much depth within you, and that you haven't even touched the depths. He says, dive in the pool with me. Dive in that pool and let me reveal more to you. Let me show you just how deep this pool is. And the pool is bottomless. The deeper you dive, the more he'll show you. He wants you to know more wisdom. He wants you to show you that depth. He wants you to reveal things that nobody else has done. Just dive in the pool. So what is it that God's got for you today? Where is he going to take you today? Well, that's today. And then there's tomorrow. Yes, we have to live for today. But we also have to plan, you know. God isn't stupid. If I want to go to France to visit, to go over there and visit people, I have to book a ferry. I have to book a flight. You know, it's no good me turning up at the ferry port and going, God said I should get on this ferry. They'll just say, where's your ticket? When I go on the mission field, when we go to Africa and things like that, it takes maybe 2 or 3 months to plan a trip to out there. You have to find the contacts, you have to get book the flights, you have to know where the hotels are. Sometimes God changes the plan. Three times, I said, John, before we started, three times, I had the same prayer before I preach. Every time, just before I speak, I say, okay, God, is this the right message? I spent a lot of time working on this message. But three times, God has said to me, nope, wrong message. Close the book, I'll give you the message. Sometimes that happens in travel, but generally when we're traveling, we need to plan. When you have church on a Sunday morning, you couldn't turn up downstairs at reception and say, we thought we'd have a church meeting today. Can you just open up for us? No, John has to book this place. When you're going places, you have to do stuff. If you want to be a teacher, you can't just turn up at a school and go, I thought I'd be a teacher. It doesn't work like that. I couldn't start my company and go, I thought I'd teach people about leadership management. No, you can't. You're a web designer, so I'm straight over my head. You couldn't just say, I think I'll start a web design company today. It just didn't work like that. I can't practice. I think I'll start a law firm tomorrow. You can't do that. You have to sometimes put in the background work to then go where God wants to take you. But he'll tell you what the work is. What do you need to study? Where do you need to go? Who do I need to contact? Who do I need to be in contact with to go where you want to take me? So ask him, today, what opportunities, Father? Today, what doors do I need to push open? Who do I need to phone? Who do I need to write to? Because he's got it all planned. Just let him help. Let him make it easy. Because it doesn't need to be difficult. We can walk forward with God wherever he wants to take us. I have no idea what happened. Who cares? Yes, back in the Church of England, we used to do this. It was radical at the time. Oh, were we radical? Because we were good Church of England people. We were good Church of England people, and we would sit in our pews, and we would follow the Common Book of Prayer. I can still recite it, by the way. I was that good. And then one day, that we got this radical vicar, and he came and he went, you're all going to speak to each other. Speak to each other? What, you mean I have to speak to the person next to me? We don't do that with Church of England. We sit down in my pew, in my place on my pew, and then we have the service, and then we leave. That's what we do in the Church of England. No, this thing, he said, we're going to share the peace. He came and said, we're going to share the peace. And we're all like, ooh, I don't know, what do you mean? He said, well, you have to stand up and go speak. You have to shake somebody's hand. Peace be with you. And we thought it was radical. and probably at the time it was. You know, it actually broke down some barriers. We didn't understand. We didn't understand when we shared the peace what that really meant. We didn't understand it meant Hakuna Matata. I love this film, I've just watched the latest version. We didn't understand the peace meant Hakuna Matata. No worries. We didn't understand that when we were wishing people this peace, what we were saying was peace, prosperity, harmony, wholeness, completeness, health, happy, friendly and tranquil. We didn't understand that. Got you. So now you understand that when you say peace to people, when you pray peace over people, understand that's what you're praying for them. You are praying for them the life that God wanted them to have. Hakuna Matata, no worries, because there are no worries in Christ. You missed it today, get it right tomorrow. You didn't quite speak to that person you should have, and we've all done that. We've all had times we knew we should have prayed for somebody. I knew I should have gone to pray for somebody once, and I didn't. And I found out they died. I berated myself for that one a long time. Because thinking, oh, I missed it, God. I let them down. And God said, actually, I'm in charge. You know, I do the doing. You were one of my choices. That put me on place. You were one of my choices. By the way, you were fifth choice. But sixth choice went and prayed for them. So don't worry about it. Just allow God to let you enjoy life. Every day we should be waking up and going, fantastic, God, I'm alive, I'm breathing. Oh, Dave Jewell, he used to have this phrase, it's good to be here. Actually, at my age, it's good to be anywhere. Well, it's good to be us. You know, it's good to be you. Because you have got talents, abilities and gifts that I don't have. But we were singing that song earlier, and it was saying, I am who you say I am. I was shouting out, I am a preacher, I am a teacher, I am a prophet. That's what we need to do every morning. Sing out who God says you are. declare who God says you are. And then you have to do it, by the way. A prophet who doesn't speak isn't a prophet. They're a mute. You have to do what he says to do. A preacher isn't a preacher unless they stand up and preach. They're just a preacher in their own head. A leader isn't a leader without people. They're just somebody out for a walk. We need to go do. Which, after the Dave sayings, two-thirds of God's name wasn't go do. So go do. That's what God's name means. Go do. Go do something. Go declare to people that you meet every day, Hakuna Matata, not maybe in those words, but go and declare to them they don't need to worry, that there's a God in heaven that loves them, a God in heaven that cares for them, a God in heaven that knew them before they were born, before they were formed in mother's womb, God knew them and had a plan and purpose for them. And the circumstance they're in now doesn't matter because God's got a plan. Another great phrase. Somebody said to Dave, under the circumstances, and Dave said to them, what are you doing under the circumstances? Get out from under the circumstances and start living how God told you you can. We need to move forward. It is possible to live like this. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Passes all understanding. Of course it does. The world cannot understand a people that can live without worries. But because of Shalom, we can. We can live in that wholeness and completeness. We don't have to worry about it. And it's a fruit. You see, Deb said to me, and it's a thing she said to me years ago when I started preaching, how are they going to do that tomorrow? What's the outworking of that tomorrow? And it's a really good question of your teaching.
Love, joy, peace and self-control.
Good. Absolutely. A fruit of the Spirit. So she said, how are they going to work it out? And she said that to me on the way here. How are they going to do that tomorrow? How are they going to make this happen tomorrow? Well, this is one of those things. Shalom is not one of the things you work out tomorrow. Shalom is a fruit that grows within us. So all we have to do, and it's a great thing, just water the fruit. Water the fruit grows. We don't have to worry about it. You water the fruit grows, and we will have shalom in our lives. And we can then take shalom to all the people around us, because, of course, that word peace in the gifts of spirit is shalom. See how often it occurs, this word shalom, that we didn't really even know what it meant. This word shalom is huge. It's just God's design for our lives. And it brings unity and growth. This verse saw the church throughout the whole of Judea and Galilee and Samaria. How good would it be if every church throughout England, every church throughout the United Kingdom, every church throughout Europe did this. So change those words Galilee and Samaria to Europe. Or Britain, whatever your thought patterns at the moment, had peace, had unity, completeness, fullness, wholeness, health, happy. Every church in UK has that. And was edified, that means built up, and was walking in respect and reverent fear of the Lord, and in the consolation and exhortation of the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit's building up. Each church, every single church, that's what we want, isn't it? Every single church in Britain that's preaching the Good News Gospel, every single church. We want them to increase and be multiplied. Let's pray that. Let's believe that. Because the word says it can happen through shalom. Shalom is what grows people. We have peace with the church in Coventry. Peace with every church in the... what's the county?
West Midlands.
Every church in West Midlands is in such unity that the pastors are phoning each other every week and saying, I just want to bless you. How can I bless you this week? Now that's the way it should be. We had a preacher at our church back in Lincoln last week from a completely different church. He preached an awesome word. And just what blessed me more, even though what he preached was, he was there preaching. And my pastor was in the front row cheering him on, saying, you are such a good preacher, preaching. That's where we should be. We should be looking at each other. Do you know why geese make such a noise? $22,000 this cost, by the way, to find out. Geese make such a noise, and if you hear them flying overhead, they make such a noise. They only make a noise to encourage each other. We need to be geese. Every time we hear about a brother or sister doing something that we cheer them for, we just go, well done, you're brilliant, you're amazing, fantastic, awesome. Encourage each other, be geese. And it brings wisdom. Of course, the word peace is shalom. And let the peace from Christ rule in your heart. If you expand that, it means being like an umpire, helping you make decisions. But it's that shalom in your heart, that completeness. If we're so close to God that we can hear his heartbeat, that it's like you've got your head laid on Jesus' chest, and you hear his heartbeat, decisions are easy because you know the values. You know what's important. So it brings this wisdom to us all. So how are we going to do it? Well, it comes down to trust. You see, as soon as we start trusting God, the more you trust him, the less you worry. It's that simple. When I get in the car, when I get in my car now, I turn the key and I don't worry about it. I expect the car to start. Well, when we had four kids, the mortgage of 17%, four kids under five and a mortgage rate of 17%, the cars I had were not like this car. And every morning I would turn the key and worry if the car was going to start. Every morning was an exciting moment when I turned that key. I was either going, woo, or I was going to be, I don't have that worry now because I trust the car. If we trust God like that, we turn the key, we know God's going to come through, we don't worry about it. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How do we increase our faith? Know the word. Learn the word. Get into the word. Just bathe in the word. In the gospel, shalom, that makes a difference. It's not just preaching any old gospel that makes a difference. It's preaching the good news gospel. It's preaching this life of shalom that makes a difference. It's the good news, Romans 10, 15. It's the good news gospel. That's what it actually says. It says the good news gospel, the peace, the gospel of peace that we need to preach, the shalom gospel. And it's gospel of shalom that prepares us, that lets us go out. You see, if you're in perfect peace with God, and with the way things are, you don't worry about talking to the person in front of you. You don't look at them and go, oh, what will they think of me if I speak to them? And don't look at me like, because you've all done it. You have all thought, I should pray for somebody. I know, because we've all been there. We're all human beings. You've all thought, you're at Tesco's, I think yesterday, Tesco's, the bloke at the counter. I was just looking and thinking, I need to talk to him. So I started talking to him. It turned out his girlfriend is having a baby, and he's working double shifts just to keep her at peace at home. See, as soon as you speak to people, the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you about them and gives you the opportunity to pray into them. I have to say, I didn't pray for him there and then, because I didn't feel to pray for him, but I felt to make a relationship with him. Now, maybe we should go back today. Maybe we'll go and pray for him today. So do you want more? Well, if you want more, make the choice. You see, I teach time management. And time management, you can take that word time management out, actually, because it's a lie. Because if I say to Karen, I don't have time, that's a lie. What I'm actually saying is, you're not at the top of my priority list, Karen. You are, okay. But that's what we're saying. So make it a priority. If you want to live your life in shalom, it's your choice. God is not going to force you. He's not going to force you to live happy, prosperous, complete, whole, tranquil, peaceful. He's not going to force you to live that awful life. You know, you can live that amazing life if you want to. Choose it. We choose it by doing this. Look at the, put God TV on. Don't put the news on. Because you are not going to find the good news gospel watching the news. You might find things to pray for, but you're not going to find the good news gospel on the news at 10. Tapes, CDs, DVDs, radio, TV, house groups, anything. Get the word in you. Put it on the car. It's always the radio. Put it on the car. Just get the word in you. Sharing with others, teaching others. Listening to others, get the word in you. It's a choice. Do you want to live that wonderful life God's got for you, or do you want to live in strife? It's your choice. It's always our choice, because that's what God gave us. So, this other verse, it says, choose life. You can have life or death, but choose life. What is it? It's God's way of living. That's what shalom is. It's the life he wanted for us. It's the life he designed for us. Why should we want it? Well, wisdom. It brings wisdom, it brings unity, it brings growth. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We need it in our lives. It will change the world, it will change your family, it will change you. That's why we should want it. How do we get more of it?
Love, joy, peace and self-control. That's what I said.
Brilliant. So how do we get more of it? Love, joy, peace, self-control. As the gentleman says at the back, that's how we get more of it, by studying the Word and knowing the Word, as he does. Know the Word. Because if we know the word, we can apply the word, faith increases, trust increases, and we can live the life God meant for us. Amen.